Right. Hey, by the way, after our service this morning, there's going to be a reception time back in the fellowship hall to celebrate a little more of the installation service today. So you're all welcome. Just some light refreshments back there. Hopefully it'll tide you over, you know, before dinner time. You know what? It was about 2 years ago, right about now, that Pastor Johnson was up here and let us know he was going to be retiring the following that summer. And as you know, after he retired, we brought on the interim pastoral ministry process and Pastor Evans, and we started down the trail, down the path of finding a new pastor. And it was quite a good time for us. We went through some re-evaluation of where we were as a church, where we wanted to go, what some of our, you know, what our needs were going to be, and what we needed to look for in a new pastor. And we came to realize we kind of needed a bit of a restart, actually maybe a major kind of restart, to start getting back to some of the basic things as far as reaching out to people beyond these four walls and doing things a little differently. And that started to inform us about what we were going to be looking for in our next senior pastor. And it was a good process. Many of you participated in it. Many of you were in on the surveys and different things that were done at that time. And Pastor Evans guided us through that in a very good way, I think. And some of the things we learned is that we definitely wanted to have someone come that was going to be true to the Word of God, without a doubt. We're not going to vary from that at all. We're going to stick true to the Word of God. But we knew we needed some leadership development. Some of us guys knew that we needed some work. We need a lot of work. And we knew we needed somebody that was going to coach us up on that. And we knew we needed somebody that was going to have some administrative skills and strengths in that regard, and someone who had an evangelistic outlook. And so we got to the point where we started the pastor search. That was in May. And we had our team, Nancy Eaton and Sherry Felton and Sherry Ruza and Jenny Bessert and Kevin Grubbs and Tom Elliott and myself, and Pastor Evans was our guide. He was a big help to us, of course. And we started down the road, figuring out what to do, how we were going to organize ourselves and so forth, and we ended up having around 80 different applicants that applied for the job, and we sifted through them. You heard some of this reported to you through that process. We ended up sifting that down to about 10 finalists, or top tier, whatever we called it, and we sifted down through that a little more, and we got to 5 finalists, and we went into the interview process in the summertime, late summer. And after we got done with that process, we voted, or whatever we want to call it, made our recommendation as a group, and it was unanimous among our group that we wanted to recommend Pastor Belcher to the board. And we did, and then we went through some more interviews at that level, and the board unanimously approved presenting Pastor Belcher to the congregation, to the membership. And you may recall that we had a candidate weekend in September, and there were some questions and some get-togethers and different things, and then we voted later on in September, and it was overwhelmingly passed, 95% support, which was very good, I thought. I think that's a very wonderful number. So then we called Pastor Belcher to come, and he and Kathy said yes. And away they came, and they got here. Things went fairly well, I would say, in my view, in terms of relocating. Housing and so forth seemed to fall into place for them in a pretty good way. So you know a lot of this already, that Pastor Belcher comes to us with many years of experience, 24 years of active full-time ministry. You know, he's got a doctorate degree from Grace Theological Seminary. That's pretty nice, pretty sweet. And he's done a lot of teaching through the years at different, community colleges, and of course also at up in Grand Rapids at the seminary up there. And he's had experience overseas, as you know. He spent some time in Budapest, and all this experience came together. And I think, in my view, in my involvement in this process came together very nicely for us in terms of what we need right now, somebody to get us restarted and retooled and doing things where we reach people. And that's one of his main passions. So here he is. He's with us, and we are going to have a charge to our congregation in just a moment. It's going to come to us from Reverend Craig Darling. Some of you are familiar with Craig. He's been around our turf here for a number of years. He has a Master of Divinity from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. He's been in the ministry quite a while, actually. It's not possible. He's had 16 years. He spent 16 years with Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now, they shortened their name to CRU, C-R-U, CRU, but Campus Crusade for Christ. He spent 12 years as a pastor with the Baptist General Conference, 16 years with the India Rural Evangelical Fellowship, and I remember you did a presentation here a number of years ago now. It was pretty cool with some of the work you were doing over there. And currently, if I've got this right here, currently you're serving with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, correct? And he has been, this is one of the exciting things to me, he's been the chaplain for the Western Michigan University Bronco football team for the past 10 years. Go Broncos! Which is my alma mater, so I think that's really cool. So Craig, if you would come on up here and take the platform and share your charge to the congregation, we appreciate it. Do you mind shaking hands?
No, I just have to be careful. I have a bad knee.
From football?
Oh, yes.
All right, there you go.
Well, thank you very much for that nice introduction. I appreciate it. I've been introduced by some high-ranking people before, but that was the rankest. Anyway, I didn't mean that. So, I've known Pastor Brad for a long time. I think I knew him when he had hair. And actually, that's not true. He's never had hair. And so I just want you to be aware of that. It's a privilege to come here. I have been in this church several times, and I had a long-standing relationship with your former pastor, Pastor Steve, and I know that he was well treated here at this church, and for that, praise God. In 1991, I was sent to be the lead pastor here in Kalamazoo at a church. I was sent from Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis. The pastor there was John Piper, and when I got here, I got a letter from him after a couple months, and this is what he said to me, and I'm sort of paraphrasing, but he said, "What your church needs and what churches in America need is a happy pastor." And that's what he said. And I still have that letter. I couldn't find it, but I have it. And I remember as those statements. And after I left the pastorate and I began to work with a mission organization in India. In fact, Pastor Brad has come with me for a two-week mission trip to rural India. I would go into various churches and speak with evangelical pastors. And here's what I found, quite honestly, and this is nothing official, but I found that about 2 out of 5, about 40% of pastors were happy in their pastorate. And if you took that down to their wives, it would probably be about 20%. And that's the truth, friends, about churches and truth about pastors. And it's just out there like that. There are a lot of guys in the ministry that are not happy. And so what I would like to do, just for a moment, and I'm a textual guy, so if you have a Bible, just this is going to be very brief. Just turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I should have told you to do that earlier. I'm just going to look at a couple things in the first two verses as I speak about really your responsibility as a congregation for the pastor that you have brought to you. And so this morning I have, as most pastors do, a couple points, 3 points actually, and they are points of consideration as you consider Pastor Brad and Kathy now that they're here. And so I want to just read this real quickly, and I'll just speak to it as you can follow along. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I usually skip over those little introductory kinds of things. in these books, but you know something? There's something significant in these couple verses. And so the first thing I want you to understand is this. I want you to consider the calling of your pastor. We've spoken about that already, but I want you to consider the calling of your pastor. Now, of course, this says Paul, an apostle, and we know that Brad is not claiming to be an apostle, Pastor Brad, but he is a pastor, and quite honestly, we could put our own names in there. An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. We have callings by the will of God. Now, there's two different kinds of wills of God, I think, if I can say it that way. There's what I would maybe call the will of desire that God has. For instance, the Bible says, do not murder. But we murder, don't we? We violate that command. And then there is what I call the will of decree or of purpose. And that's what Paul has in mind here. He says that I'm an apostle by the will of God's decree. That God knew that a persecutor of the church, a murderer, a Pharisee, would one day become a great evangelist of the gospel of grace. It was by the will of God before the foundation of the world that God saw this. And quite honestly, if we put Pastor Brad's name in here as Pastor Brad, a pastor of Christ Jesus by the will of God, we have the same significant meaning that God has ordained for Pastor Brad to be a part of this congregation and to lead this congregation, teach this congregation, love this congregation, and you are to love him in return. It's decreed by God. It's not as though God had some sort of big bowl here and he was pulling out names and goes, Belcher, huh? Does he fit any of our churches that might be open? You know, kind of as though he didn't know anything. No. God brought Pastor Brad here through prayer, committee, eldership, and he now is here. The intersection of Pastor Brad and Oakwood Bible Church was not an accident. And so always consider that Pastor Brad is here by the will of God. Secondly, I'd like to have you consider Pastor Brad's commission. I want you to look at verse 2. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice the term grace to you. Do you know that in all 13 of the epistles that Paul wrote, that's the way he starts every letter, grace to you. So as these letters came to the apostle, came to the church at Ephesus, they would be written out. And the church would gather, and there would be readers or someone, and maybe an elder of the church would read the letter. And the people, as the letter was read, would expect to hear the word of God coming to them through the inspired apostle. And they would listen intently as grace was coming to them. And at the end of every letter, by the way, it says, may grace be with you. Every one of them. With you as you go to be the church in the world, as you, as a part of the kingdom, have received grace, you go. But every letter was like this. Here's what I believe your pastor is called to do. He's called every morning when he comes here on Sunday, or other times when he teaches and preaches. He is called to bring grace to you so that at the end of the day, you can take that grace into your workplace, into your particular profession, whatever it is, and you have that grace. I likened it like this, that when Pastor Brad studies, when he prepares, when he prays over his notes, when he gets ready for stuff, he's building this fire of grace. And every week you come to him with your little torch that sometimes is just smoldering a little bit. There's just a little bit of smoke trickling up. And you put your torch into his fire. And that grace sustains you for the rest of the week. And you come back and you place it back in his fire again. His mercies are new every morning. And that's the commission that he has. He's called to unfold and to communicate the unbelievable riches of Christ to you and to bring you grace. That's his commission. And finally, I just want you to consider this. The end of verse 2, consider not only his commission, not only his calling, but consider his community, because that is you. That's who you are. You are now the community in which Pastor Brad and Kathy have come to. They're the pastor. He's not a perfect guy. I've been with him on mission trips. We all know we aren't perfect. That's the greatest thing that we can assess, the fact that we're needy. But he's called. And he's called to proclaim the word of God to you every Sunday morning. And now you are the community. Look at what it says in the end of verse 2, or end of verse 1, excuse me, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Do you know the word saints is always plural? There's no real room, actually, for singularity of, hey, I can just kind of do my own thing. To the saints who are in Ephesus. And you'll notice two things. There's two locations here, so to speak. One's a geographical one. They are in Ephesus, these saints. But they are also what? In Christ. This community is in Christ. You are the faithful in Christ. This is his community and your community. And you've called him to be your pastor. And that's a special calling. It's a special relationship that you have. You're aliens because you live in Kalamazoo. This really isn't our home. I mean, it is sort of. But we know that our home is in heaven. But you're also called to be in Christ. And so, as a body of believers, you are sending a testimony into your world about your pastor and about your church and about the love you have for one another. Because, you see, you are saints in Kalamazoo and you are faithful in Christ Jesus. So could I just leave with these three things to do? Love Pastor Brad and Kathy generously. Love them generously. Secondly, pray for them regularly. Pray for them regularly. And thirdly, forgive them easily. Love does not keep a record of right and wrongs. And you know what? Sometimes something could happen. And I know this from experience. People get all bent out of shape. Grudges are built. And hatred can actually enter into a congregation. Friends, my charge to you today is, would you make Pastor Brad a happy pastor? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate that very much. We have another speaker as well. This gentleman is going to essentially give a charge to pastor. And it's Chuck Warren is his name. I just met him this morning, although the first thing I saw on his bio is that he went to Grand Rapids School of the Bible and Music. So Tom and I are saying, hey, this must be great. And because Tom's a graduate from there. I just went through the one-year program. But anyway, after spending time at Grizz, as we call it, he also came to Western Michigan University. Another Go Broncos situation. Very nice. He served in several ministry capacities, former professor of music at Grizz, former youth pastor, and then senior pastor at several Michigan churches, and as a church planter in North Carolina. That would be interesting to hear about. It says here he retired in 2017. I don't know. It doesn't look like he's retiring yet. He was a regional superintendent with the Evangelical Free Church of America, Great Lakes District, and had served for over 24 years as a pastor to pastors, a church health consultant, and a church interventionist. And Brad put this in the bio. He said Chuck was very instrumental in Brad getting into the ministry, so that would be an interesting thing to hear about. So I want to welcome Chuck to our platform. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
You asked two people with bad knees to come up here this morning. Minor hockey knees, too many times on the ice. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was trying to play hockey. Anybody here know the name Bill Henschel? He and I grew up together in the same church. He was a buddy of mine. And so I go that far back with you guys. I think the last time I was here with a male chorus from Grand Rapids School of Bible Music in 1967. That was a year, some of you young people. It was a good year. It's a privilege to be here today, and I want to tell you that you've called a good man. He's a godly man. He's my friend. And this is the fourth time that I've installed him and been involved with him. I hope this one takes, you know. He's had many good ministries and is a worldview man, a good man of the word. And I get the privilege of bringing a charge to him this morning. You could listen in. We're going to the book of Titus, if you want to go with me. Oakwood Bible, bring your Bibles, open them up to Titus. We're going to look at the first four verses. I have 5 minutes, and I think we're over time already, so he said 5 to 7, so I don't know if Craig stayed to his time, but we're going to try. The Word of God. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior, to Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. My chance today is to talk directly to Brad. You can listen in if you want. I'm going to turn this way. It's going to sound a little familiar, Brad. We've done this before. My biggest word today is continue. Everything I say, I'm saying, you've been doing it, continue. Titus was one of Paul's converts. He's a great help to Paul in ministry, and he identifies himself as a servant of God. We are servants of God. Continue to be a servant, a slave. He came to serve, not to be served. A slave, a bond servant in the Greek, means he is owned by his master and not free to leave. We have a lot of things going on in ministry today. A lot of men are out of ministry today because of behavior. The church is wounded. So I say to you, you cannot leave. Don't leave a bad trail. That's happening around the world. Paul was a servant of God. I thought Craig was going to preach my message here. He also was an apostle commissioned by Christ, and you are commissioned by Christ. You're called by this church, but the higher call is from Christ, directly to you. That's kind of a fearful thing to think about, but it's a wonderful thing to think about, a one-to-one relationship with our Savior. I want to give you 3 things to think about as I talk here for a couple minutes. First of all, continue to allow the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness to make you more like Christ. A hunger for the word every day, never gets old. Warren Wiersbe said, I've been doing this all my life, when he was in his 80s, and he said, I've scratched the surface. Keep going deeper. It's a deeper love. Knowledge in itself has a way of puffing up and degrees, and you got enough of them. You worked around the house. I don't know how you did all that to get it to one school at the end, but you did a good job. As you know, knowledge can puff up, but it's at the foot of the cross that we come. Continue to exercise your faith, manage your faith on a daily basis. Worship. May your private worship be just full of joy and the Spirit of God. The second charge is a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. That word hit me this week as I was looking at this, and the word resting. Our hope rests on eternal life. I was listening to a preacher on the way here, coming down 94 up from northern Indiana, and he said that, we need to have hope today. He said, non-believers, this is the closest they'll get to heaven, living on the earth. But for believers, this is the closest we get to hell, because we're going to get out of here and someday be with the Lord forever. Resting on the hope of eternal life. The view of eternity is really what drives us. Place your hope in that. Thirdly, There's a knowledge of the truth and a hope in eternal life brings a desire to preach the word of God. Jesus said, feed my sheep. They're hungry. They need a meal. What a privilege it is to be in the study. It's also a pressure. I remember that. Sunday's coming. You can be in a series, but Sunday's still coming. Build a trust, a working, loving relationship with the leaders God has placed here. Guard the unity of the body. Craig addressed that as well. You know, it's not the building, it's not the location, it's not the preacher, it's the presence of Christ in his church, which will draw other people. I also heard on a radio station coming here, down 94, listening to a different station, but I heard the Battle Hymn of the Republic. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With a glory in his bosom that, what? Transfigures you and me. A lot of doctrine in this one. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. What a thrill it is to free someone from the bondage of sin and unforgetfulness. Unity just doesn't happen. It's a testimony of Christ in this area. And I'm not to bring a charge to the congregation, but you have to be a big part of that unity. I just looked up verses on mumbling and grumbling. Do it yourself. It's the biggest trait of a lot of church congregations is mumbling and grumbling. And you know who they usually mumble and grumble about? He's going to have new ideas. He's going to have new vision. He's got to have new direction. Pray for him. Pray for the elders. Pray for the leaders of the church. As they are responsible to God someday, and they must give an account, Hebrews says, as to how they do that. I have five things, and I'm closing. Continue to balance your life. Your personal life, your family life, your ministry life. The hard job. The biggest job. Accountability. Be accountable. Be transparent. These men here are to hold you accountable. They called you to lead, but there are times you need to follow them. May the Spirit of God lead you together to do that. Integrity, trustworthiness. I used to be able to trust the bank. I used to be able to trust the government. Trust isn't found these days. Be trustworthy with the truth. Priorities, that's number four. You and your relationship to the Lord. You in relationship to this lady and your family and your ministry. Your ministry is not the last in your life, but it is the last in the priority order. You know, to be a good teacher, one must be teachable. A lot of pastors think that they've finally arrived. I got the D-min, I've got the degrees, I've got the experience. You're 57, you're not a young puck anymore. But be teachable. Keep learning. I know you're a man of continual learning. And let me just say in closing, may the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be amongst your relationships and your love story so that it will be known abroad in Kalamazoo County and around that Jesus is alive in that church and those people want to serve him and they want others to come to faith so that Jesus can be all in all. Glory of God the Father. May God be praised. Thank you.
Chuck, stay with us. Chuck, why don't you stay up here? We'll save you a trip. We want you to stay up here. I'd like to have Brad and Kathy come on up, if you would. And Craig, would you come on up too? And we'd like to have the elders and their wives, please, come on up. We're going to lay hands on Brad and Kathy and pray, and this is to symbolize our support for them as up here we're representing you and to ask God's provision and blessing upon them. going to use this mic here. Let's see. All right, let's bow for prayer, please. Father, we do come to you, and we look to you for our direction, for our provision in each one of our lives, and specifically we want to ask for that today in Brad's life and in Kathy's life, in the role that you've given them here in our local body. We want to honor you in our lives. We want to honor you in this work that we're doing here. And we ask for your provision, for your help, your guidance, your wisdom. We want to serve you. We want to be about this business of making disciples in our own lives and in the lives of others. And we need help, each one of us. And I pray that you would give the strength and encouragement to Brad that he needs in this role now, that this task, this charge that you've placed him here to do. We ask for your blessing on it.
Father, Lord, thank you. Pastor Brad.
Thank you for your anointing of him for ministry so many years ago and bringing him to us and he and his wife and family. Lord, breathe into us as leaders and also into him so that we may extend the grace, love, and forgiveness and the message of Jesus Christ into our community, not for our glory, but for Jesus to be lifted up and glorified and be, as Pastor Warren mentioned, our all in all. Thank you. We ask your blessing upon this church and light our fires, Father. And with your grace and your provision and your strength, may we have an impact on our community.
Heavenly Father, we continue to praise you for this special occasion. We're so thankful that you have brought Pastor Brad and Kathy to our church to lead us as our under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, who said, I will build my church. And we're thankful for Oakwood Bible Church that you are still placing us in this place for a special reason to reach out to this community. And we thank you for Pastor Brad and his gifts, his experience, his training, and especially his love for you and for your word and for people. So use him here as our under-shepherd, as our pastor for many years, if the Lord should tarry, and help us as a congregation to do our part to learn and grow and encourage them as they serve here as well. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Children are dismissed now for Children's Church.
Well, thank you, everyone, for that amazing blessing of being prayed for and properly installed as your pastor. Based on the lateness of the hour, I had a wonderful message planned, but two other pastors beat me to the punch. So, thank you, both of you. Both of you men are incredibly dear to me, and Craig talked about being in India together, and I remember at one point I kind of came to the end of myself during that time. And God just did an amazing thing with that. And an opportunity to preach to over 25,000 people at one time. Just an incredible opportunity. You know, one of which I'm not worthy of such things like that. But it was so good to do that and be with you in that. I'll never forget it. And then Chuck, you know, my story, I was just like many of you. I was a guy who, regular guy attending church, and the Lord started pushing on me. I was a businessman in the community over in Wisconsin, doing really well, but God started to do a work. By way of a segue, take your Bible and turn to Ezra 7:10. And I want you to see what I ran into that I couldn't get away from. And we'll have to wait for Acts chapter 2 for another day as we do a little shift here. During this time, as I was, again, running a business and had gotten involved with a wonderful church and started to really grow spiritually there. And God kept opening up opportunities and more and more opportunities for Kathy and I to do more and more ministry. And I found myself loving and wanting to do more. There was just no joy in selling another car policy compared to talking to people about the things of God. And in my devotions during that time, I ran across Ezra 7:10, and when I read it, my heart just resonated with Ezra. Where it says, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it," other translations say, "and to practice it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." At that time, when I read that, I was like, yes, that's what I want to do. I just want to study his word. I want to practice it. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to actually live it as best I can. And I want to teach it in all Israel. And from my standpoint, wherever God would lead me, I want to teach it wherever he leads me. And I remember that the church I was attending at the time as a layman was just an independent church, really had no church affiliation. It was a good, you know, Bible teaching, preaching church, and I knew that I needed somebody to put their stamp of approval on me for full-time ministry. It just wasn't going to be likely that someone was going to hire a guy with a math degree who sells insurance to be their pastor, right? And so I contacted the Evangelical Free Church because I agreed with their doctrinal position, and I tried to get some headway there. I called there three times, and basically what I got was, well, why don't you call back when you've got a degree? Why don't you call back when you're ordained or something? I got pushed away. And then I was talking to an Evangelical Free Church pastor friend of mine, and I told him my story about I'm longing to go into ministry. I'm longing to leave the business world and go into full-time ministry. And he goes, well, the guy you need to talk to, you need to talk to Chuck Warren at the district office. And I didn't know who this guy was. So I called Chuck. And again, as I'm trying to explain what I want to do, I could hear the, well, you know, why don't you call back when you're somebody? You know, this kind of thing from Chuck. And I just said, well, let me start over. Let me tell you my story. I grew up at Grace Presbyterian Church in Peoria, Illinois. He goes, oh, Grace Church, that's a great church. He goes, do you know a guy by the name of Eli Beltran? Eli Beltran was a Youth for Christ director that I worked with and led music groups with. And apparently Chuck knew Eli from Grizzboom. And all of a sudden, Chuck and I are now friends because of a common person we both knew. And Chuck goes, well, now what do you want to do? I said, I'm interested in church planting. And within a week from that conversation, I already had a church reaching out to Kathy and I about that prospect. And then within 6 months, we were called to Crossroads down in Coldwater, Michigan for our first pastorate. But it was Chuck who opened a door to a guy with a math degree who sold insurance. At that point, I only had maybe like 12 hours of graduate work. But I just wanted to learn more. That door was open, and the rest is history in that standpoint. And so I'm thankful, so very thankful for you in opening that door. We've been able to see amazing things with what he has done because of that. So in closing, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 37, because I do want to leave you with an encouragement. You know, maybe Ezra 7:10 speaks to your heart with what you're longing to do. And so that's the verse that I associate with my life's calling. But what I want to share with you lastly as we wrap things up today, Psalm 37. And I remember I was a high school kid when I ran into this passage. And the first thing that grabbed my attention was the first two verses about this passage. Because here I was in high school and I was a Christian. I put my faith and trust in Jesus and I'm trying to follow him with my life. And I'm looking at my peer group, all my friends at my high school who weren't following Christ. And they were doing whatever they wanted to do. They were drinking, sleeping around. And I mean, they were just a mess. And it seemed like nothing was going bad for them. And here I am, I'm trying to follow the Lord, try to do what's right. And, you know, I'm not the cool guy in the school. Nothing cool's happening for me. And I came across these verses that David writes. It says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." I was like, yeah, awesome. They're going to get theirs. And now looking back, you know, I see that more as a tragedy, right? But as a young man, I needed to hear it for encouragement. But as time went by, it's the next two verses that made all the difference. And these are my life verses that I want to share with you. 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Are you hearing that? I have banked my whole life on these two truths. Again, I'm not standing here like, oh, look at me. No, this is all about who God is and what he has done. For these men to say anything complimentary, that's all about who he is. All I've tried to do throughout my life is this, what it says here, trust him. I've just tried to trust him with my life and everything. I've tried to do what's good and right. Sometimes you mess it up, but you keep after it, trying to do the good thing. Trusting him in that, dwelling in the land and befriending faithfulness. In other translations, it reads cultivating faithfulness. Faithfulness, being faithful to the call, faithful to your wife, faithful to your kids. Cultivating that, well, that's an agricultural term. You know, keep pulling the weeds, get the rocks out. So that things grow well, tall and straight. Cultivate faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness. And here comes, delight yourself in him. Just delight yourself in him. I'll be honest with you. I'm not fully sure what that even means. How do you delight yourself in him? Other than to keep turning to him, keep seeking him, keep finding hope in him. In all of life, no matter what's going on, even when things go the wrong way sometimes in life, as Kathy and I have seen, in heartbreaking situations at times, But we can trust him, and we can keep doing what's good, and we can keep delighting ourselves in him with the incredible, ridiculous promise that he says, that he promises. What? Did you read it? What does it say? And he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm like, really? Yeah. Young people, are you hearing that today? I've taken God to the bank on that, and he has done exactly that. Yeah, totally. It's all about him. The desires of our hearts. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I might want, or maybe you might want, right? And he doesn't necessarily give us those things because he knows they're not necessarily good for us. But he gives us really that which is the desire of our heart. And he can do that. Why? Because he knows what we're longing for even better than we do. How is that possible? Because he made us. He made us. Even in the gut-wrenching anguish of situations or circumstances that take place, we can yet trust him and keep doing what's good. We can keep delighting in him, knowing that in the end, he will grant us the desires of our hearts. Well, how long will that take? Your whole life, right? Your whole life. So I want to leave you with those thoughts this morning as we close with my favorite hymn in a moment, which is trust and obey. Because there's no other way. There isn't. Oh, go try. Don't go try. There is no other way. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but what? To trust and obey. Trust in him. Follow him. Seek his face. Delight in him. And if God has put on your heart to take it to a whole other level, that you might seek to study his word and to practice it and then to proclaim it wherever he puts you, no matter what. Again, I was just a regular guy in a pew. And now Kathy and I, we've been all over the world. That was not my plan. Not at all. But apparently it was his. It was his plan. I'm so happy that we didn't run with my plan. Right, Kathy? What a disaster that would be. But his plan is so much better, so much beyond what we could possibly imagine. The desires of our hearts. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I had planned even today one thing and you planned another. And Lord, it's possible there's someone here who's wrestling with these things, not sure where they should bank their life. But Lord, every word in your Bible is true. Scripture says, the sum of thy word is truth. There's not one thing in your word that's not true that we can't bank our life on. Oh, that we would go there and that we'd stay there and that we'd live it, that we'd trust in you, that we'd keep doing what's good. Knowing full well that in and of our own strength, we can't possibly do it. But we need you in us. By the power of your Holy Spirit to make the difference. Oh, that we'd be about what you've called us to be. Not only as individuals, but as a church, as has been spoken of. Lord, you know my heart. I long to partner with these people to make a dent for the gospel in this community. That we would rock this community. That we'd make disciples who would make disciples. That we would build believers up in their faith. Lord, that we'd equip workers for the work of the ministry. And we'd send people out to win others to you. Oh God, help us to do that. And to not to turn to the left or to the right. But Lord, that you would give us a great unity with that purpose. Lord, a lot of times we think the church is here for us, and the church is for you. It's all about you. Always has been. Help us to get a clue on that. It's to the praise of your glory, where one day we'll all gather around your throne and we will throw our crowns at you, because you are our God. You are our Savior, our Creator, our Redeemer. So, Lord, thank you for this brief time that we could reflect on the beauty and the wonder of your word, and the beauty and the wonder of what you can do in changing lives, including my own. Lord, may that be the case for all of us this morning, that we'd be open to your call and that we'd be submitted to your word as a people, as your people, the church. Thank you, Lord. We want to give you all the praise this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.